Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good morning to you. We've got mostly cloudy skies, some showers likely, Kauai mainly, then Oahu and Maui as well, partly to mostly cloudy, scattered showers. That's kind of the trend, a little rain, a little sun. The windward side, maybe a little rainier like usual. The leeward side, you'll get a little bit more sun. The trades are coming, but not yet. They're variables right now, and they're just to 10 miles per hour, which is why it may seem just a little bit muggy. So, if we're just dealing with muggy at this point, not really. California woke up this morning to a lockdown. Complete, the whole state, 40 million people. Illinois issued a statewide stay-at-home. New York State is in a statewide stay-at-home, over 7,000 cases in that state of COVID-19. And it is, by the way, a misdemeanor in some of those areas if you're out with no valid reason. A valid reason is going to go get groceries or to a medical appointment or to get exercise. And in New York State, Pinehurst is open. So Hawaii residents and government leaders urging Hawaii's governor to do more to protect Hawaii residents from the people traveling. Also, many government authorities are closing things like asking restaurants to completely shut down. They're closing access to parks and municipal golf courses. I put an emphasis on municipal. Those six courses are closed, but other courses are open. They are closing the restaurants to sit down customers, urging everyone to stay home while the numbers, of course, of COVID-19 cases are climbing, or people who have been exposed to the coronavirus after they are tested. But today, golf and the business of golf working to adjust and help people get some of that exercise. For instance, at Bayview, they're sending out two at a time only, and they're spacing it out 20 minutes apart. Social distancing and kind of staying at home because the person you're playing with is probably one of your family members. And Ulu Kukui, Matt Rollins, and Ted Bishop discussing just how the Hawaii golf industry is handling the situation we're living through, the impact on the PGA Tour of the cancellations, the LPGA Tour of the cancellations, the USGA, the cancellations and postponements of tournaments, how golf is still being played on many, many golf courses around the country and here in Hawaii. So we'll be back with Mark Rolfing first and Wes Wailahua, followed by Guy Ka'ulu Kukui, Matt Rollins, and Ted Bishop right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
You know, today we were going to do the show from the Alawai. It was going to be Hawaii Junior Golf Day today. Of course, that's been canceled. The next tournament on the LPGA schedule that was going to be right here in Hawaii, the Lotte, it has been canceled. We're looking into mid-pack open. Of course, we'll be talking with Wes Wailahua. But first, into the clubhouse, Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, and president and founder of the Chicago Parks Golf Alliance. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Good morning, Danielle. Nice to be with you under some very strange circumstances.
You know, it's been a month since we spoke last, and what a change. I mean, with all these cancellations, first the LPGA, the entire first Asia swing, then seeing more cancellations, the Founders Cup first, PGA Tour with just one round, and then the Players Championship, USGA tournament cancellations and postponements. I understand the LPGA hopes to play the ANA coming up soon. A rumor has it that the Masters is being set for October because hotel room prices are skyrocketing in Augusta for the week, I think it is the 5th through the 12th. Now, Mark Rolfing, of course, he's on the inside and gets updates from the PGA Tour and other tours. Mark, tell us what's going on.
Well, it's a very complicated process, and obviously, Danielle, nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. It's been only 9 days since Michelle Wee West and I were on the set at Players, you know, with 20,000 people all crammed into that one area at the 17th and 16th holes there at the TPC Sawgrass. That's not very long. It seems like months, but it was only 9 days ago. I expect more dramatic changes between now and 9 days from now. Having said that, I think what we're going to go through here is a really good sort of cleansing for the game. You know, in general, I think our society probably needed a cleansing, maybe not one this big. But people are going to look at each other differently when we come out of this, and we will come out of this. And I think for golf, the major organizations are really going to be forced to work together to make a plan for when it is safe and healthy to gather people together for golf tournaments. That time will come, and I think it will be in the fall likely. But what can't happen at that point is for some tournaments to just barge their way into dates and say, we're going to play on a certain date. And the great thing about golf is these organizations all work together. And I think what you'll end up seeing is three or four tournaments on the same weekend at the same time. But what you will see Monday starts, Tuesday starts, you know, a finish on a Thursday potentially. And in order to accommodate television and bringing all these live events to you, it's really going to force the LPGA and the PGA Tour to work together. With Augusta National for the Masters and the PGA of America for the PGA, so that's going to be a very busy time, and it will be a very exciting time for championship golf.
So that's sort of what LPGA Commissioner Mike Wann was talking about when he said he was thinking of having two tournaments simultaneously on the LPGA?
Yeah, I think he, you know, there's a couple of options there. You could combine two tournaments into one and actually play it as one. But if you have tournaments in different locations, you know, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, let's say, you can play two tournaments literally if they had different type fields in them. I don't think you'll see two full field events opposite each other. But most importantly, I think you will have LPGA events and PGA Tour events playing at the same time where they're not conflicting. It's going to force these guys to work together so that they can showcase their own tours and not be sort of overwhelmed by the bigger events.
I just heard something from Adam Shupak and Golf Week, something about the ANA Inspiration set to go for September, trying to do that. So far, it seems like everyone is, though, in lockstep, that everything through April on the tours, including the USGA, everything through that is canceled or postponed.
Yeah, that's pretty much the case. When you think about golf, Danielle, as you well know, it takes much more preparation to get a site ready for a golf tournament than it does, you know, an arena. The Toyota Center in Houston, for example, probably could host an NBA game starting, you know, Monday, let's say. They would need a couple of days to get in there and get the place ready because the infrastructure is all in place. The build-out for a typical big golf tournament is at least 3 months. So, they would need to know 90 days prior to hosting that event that they were actually going to do it before they started spending all that money. It is tremendously costly to put on a 400-acre golf tournament because you have to build everything out. It's like building a city. Not so much out here for Lotte, but for the ANA, certainly, and other big PGA Tour events. So I kind of look at 90 days as pretty much, if you haven't made a commitment that you're absolutely going to have the tournament within 90 days.
You still have to get the force back together. You got to get the staff, and they're all volunteer helpers. Now, with the Masters, and there have been several tweets on Twitter saying, sorry, you canceled your rooms at particular, and you know, sorry you canceled, and then the people who have had their rooms canceled in Augusta say, hey, wait a minute, I didn't actually cancel my room, you did. One of them was Marina Alex, and she said, this is ridiculous. Your reason was honoring already existing reservations? What are you talking about? So obviously you know the date for the Masters is October 5th to the 12th, and you're price gouging for a better rate. I want my room back, she says. And she's not the only one. Have you heard anything about something of Masters 5th through the 12th in October?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of things about it, and I certainly believe that all signs are pointing toward that being the plan. I have not talked to Fred Ridley at Augusta National, the chairman, or anyone at the club. The club is actually closed, which is highly unusual for Augusta National, because this is the time of year when the club is open. Obviously, we're getting ready to come up on Masters Day. Typically, Augusta National, Danielle, closes toward the end of May and is closed for the summer simply because of the weather patterns and the work that they need to do there. So with the club being closed now and also being closed in the summer, it looks to me likely that Augusta National would need probably 6 to 8 weeks to get ready to host the Masters. And that, you know, starting, let's say, right at the end of August or July would be a good benchmark date to say, okay, it looks like all is going to be clear on hosting an event, which means they then have to kind of pick a date a couple of months after that. And I'm sure what they've done is say, wow, that October date looks good. Now, you know, there's a lot of complications with that. If you think about CBS, which televises the Masters, they also televise the NFL. And they will have NFL football that week. So what are they going to do? What it's going to force everybody to do is really work together. You may have to see network football switch from one network to another for games, let's say, in order for CBS to televise that Masters, which I'm sure they will do. But I think this is actually, in a way, going to force the governing bodies and all of the people in the golf industry to come together even more than they do now. And that not necessarily is a bad thing.
No, and you know, you're right, because we were kind of with the PGA Championship scheduled to be in San Francisco. And at the time, we were kind of naive as just a society and thinking that, well, we'll just move it to TPC Sawgrass. You know, like the only part of the world that was going to be impacted was the West Coast. And it was, you know, then things completely changed, and it's obvious that it can't be played at TPC Sawgrass or anywhere on the planet at this point.
No, and I think the big events will be the driving force here. But really, the thing that is going to drive so much of this is the Olympics itself. If you think about the network I work for, the parent company is Comcast, and I work for NBC and Golf Channel. They have seven networks that televise two solid weeks of 24 hours a day of sports that are committed to the Olympics, which has not been called off yet. And that is a major, major commitment. That is the first 2 weeks in August. Once that decision gets made, then it's likely that these golf tournaments can start finding dates. The date that we're hearing about the PGA Championship literally would be the second week of Olympic golf, which would be the women. Now, you know, if that were to happen, I can just hear the screaming now about a major championship on CBS, you know, going opposite the Olympic golf on NBC for women. You know, what's fair about that?
Nothing.
I don't know, not much.
No,
yeah,
right.
Nothing.
Right. And
correct.
We've already heard the Swim Federation saying that they don't want the Olympics to be held this year. They want it to be held next year. So there is a movement amongst the athletes, some, saying, you know, they're trying to be ready just in case. But there are many who say, you know, we don't want to do this. We don't want to go to Japan. We don't want to travel. We don't want to expose ourselves. So, it, like you said earlier, there is so much up in the air that we certainly can't even all of this is speculation and supposition and an attempt to put some order in what is a completely disordered life right now. And we just have to kind of go day by day, take care of each other, take care of ourselves. And I couldn't agree with you more when you started off by saying, to me, it's like the universe saying, slow down. Y'all are going too fast. And this coronavirus, which then causes COVID-19, if you're exposed and you become ill seriously, this is slowing us down and making us become more inward looking and to the smaller groups that we are, our little tribes of home. You know, taking care of each other, taking care of ourselves, not just, entertainment-wise, but emotionally, spiritually, all of those things that are really important to us being whole and complete. I'm looking at he is a Aloha Section PGA. He's also Vice President of America and Golf Channel after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
Okay, and by the way, they're probably not serving anything up. Twosomes to go out 20 minutes apart. There's a 9:30 and a 10:10. And just a reminder, Oahu Extraction, the way it's been raining, there could be places in your home where there is water collecting and could be in places that could create mold. I know Oahu Extraction is coronavirus ready. They have all the gear necessary to not infect your home. They're ready to handle those water pipes, the heavy rain that may be coming in, or of course settling in the house without you really knowing it. So they can check with their hydrometer to see whether there is something in the walls that you may not even be aware of or you're starting to notice. It's 24/7. Call them. Their number is 330-6212, Oahu Extraction.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without being left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy starting super.
This portion of the Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futuristone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
All right, Mark Rolfing is with us, NBC and Golf Channel. And now we're bringing into the clubhouse Wes Wailahua, Aloha Section PGA Executive Director and Vice President of the Aloha State Chapter of the Club Management Association of America. Now, I've got to tell you, I was in the elevator just yesterday. And in the elevator, two fellows were talking about playing golf. And one said, you want to go play golf? And go, no, the golf courses are closed. And I said, well, excuse me, the golf courses aren't all closed. You know, there are the municipal courses have had to close, but all the other golf courses are open. And a gentleman went, oh, thank you for that information. Wes Wailahua, welcome.
Good morning, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Wes.
So tell us, we're open for business, right? The golf course industry.
Yeah, Danielle, the golf courses are open for business. I think a lot of the business and restaurants that are trying to weather, I guess, the crisis as we kind of move forward together. But I want to make clear that the courses are open in what we're defining as a responsible way of operating financially and, of course, for health-wise, for the players that visit the facilities. We had a great industry call yesterday morning, a little over 100 of the professionals or leaders in the industry that were on that call. Mark was on the call with us as well. And really, you know, the message that I wanted to make sure we were all enforcing was just to ensure that the courses are open and available. We are doing our best to try to provide some relief from some of the social anxiety through this crisis, and try to give people an opportunity just to get out and still kind of enjoy some kind of normalcy for their lives. But it's been an interesting week, as Mark had said, in the last 7 days. And I think what's been important for us as a section and as an association and an industry for Hawaii is to kind of keep the information flowing from our green grass facilities and everybody that's attached to them all the way up to our national governing bodies of our industry, and definitely staying in contact with the local state agencies and the counties and the state as we kind of move forward together and step on you know, trying to survive the crisis.
Yeah, and this morning was a perfect example of staying in step. Now, Kauai's mayor has said, you know, Kauai is on vacation, don't come here. And Poipu Bay has decided not. They gave us tea times initially, and then they sent us a message saying, no, they're not going to be open today. I don't know how long they're going to stay closed, but that really is up to individual golf courses. They can make this call on their own, and they're doing everything in their power to keep it safe. Tell us some of the things they're doing to make sure the people will be safe when they're going to play.
Well, I think the facilities, you know, we've given them a bunch of best practices. A lot of them have come up with some great ideas just to prevent those personal touch points that customers would interact with staff at the facilities. Some of the top hot topics obviously have been single rider carts, separating of the groups, putting devices in the bottom of the cups to prevent the ball from reaching the bottom of the hole so they don't have to reach in all the way, and then being very creative with takeout and food cart services on the golf course. But one of the things that we're really trying to make sure that they understand in this messaging, and it's not just being open to be open is really not good enough. We want to make sure that they're operating in a safe way. For me to tell your listeners or anybody in the industry just to go play golf, I think that would be completely irresponsible of us, and would be maybe just like any other operator of an indoor restaurant or bar who's trying to have a party that that shouldn't be. And our message to the community really should be to continue that we are trying to operate in a sensible and a safe way so that golf can still be enjoyed and provide some type of escape from self-isolation or anything that's being recommended. It's really difficult, I think, when you look at an economic crisis. Usually you look at trying to stimulate some kind of activity to encourage growth. But in this case, you know, that's kind of the opposite from the federal and government agencies, is we're decreasing activity. So I think golf on our islands, we've encouraged them to remain open. Obviously, that's going to be a decision by facility as time comes in the next couple of weeks. But we want the public to know that, you know, our intent is not to stay open to make money. Our intent is to provide an activity for the community in a safe and sensible way. And that will be continuing a message that we will share with the leaders of the industry as well as the players that support our courses.
And just as an aside, New York State is in lockdown. The entire state, not just New York City, the entire state has been told, but they can go out to exercise, and Pinehurst is open. They have left parks and golf courses open. In an article a friend of mine pointed out, the Wall Street Journal she was reading yesterday, one responsible way to play golf during this pandemic at Pinehurst would be not to touch the flagstick. Don't take it out. Don't touch the rake. Use your foot to fix stance and imprint marks, or, you know, if you've got gloves, maybe, but the article said don't touch the rake. There was also, you know, what Bayview's doing, and that is two people per cart, or in some cases people are doing one per cart, unless it's your husband or wife or close family member, and then spacing, as you said. The at Bayview, they're doing 20-minute increments. So they're working, they're closing the clubhouse so people aren't going inside and there's no food being served, all of that. So if you're going to go do it, if you're going to go play around, if you need to get out, and there are a lot of people who will, to make sure that you bring with you enough water to stay hydrated and keep yourself, you know, take your snacks and what have you. Mark Rolfing, of course, is... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Wes.
No, I just going to add, Danielle, I mean, obviously those are all the steps that our courses are currently taking. But more importantly, I think for the listeners and for the players, there's also a request from the facilities to make sure that you are coming, that you, if you do need to get out, just make sure that you're also safe and healthy to be out in public so that we can reduce the spread of any kind of infectious disease, especially to the staff at those facilities as well. So we are open and available to help in whatever way possible, but we want to make sure we're sensible and healthy about doing it in the right way.
Excellent. And I just got a message that Bayview is providing takeout, which, of course, what all the restaurants are doing whenever possible so that they can stay in business and not be completely put out of business. They are providing takeout service to anyone who would like to have some of their food. Mark, any thoughts on this conversation?
Yeah, it's interesting, Danielle. We started off by talking about the PGA Tour and the PGA Championship and the Masters and all the typical high-profile golf discussions, like when are they going to start playing again? And it's in the case with all of sports. The people that are in high-profile positions and have jobs like me tend to spend all of our time talking about when is Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka going to play again? I'm not concerned about that now nearly as much as when is my 75-year-old neighbor, next-door neighbor who plays 5 days a week, when is he going to be able to play again, and how is he going to do it? And I really hope that all the people that are in the position that I may be in, and we're seeing it more and more from the high-profile players, are really focusing on having one sort of common theme and voice of our industry. We have a very fractured management of our industry because of all the different organizations that run it. And that's why it's so important for people like me to kind of move the messaging toward people like Wes Wailihua, who's become a great leader and is overall. But typically now is when people should be listening to what Wes says way more than what Mark Rolfing says. Because again, it's not nearly as important as to Brooks Koepka and Rory McIlroy's next PGA Championship tee time as it is what is the tee time for the 99.99% of the rest of the people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There were a couple of our PGA Tour boys who went out to play a round together, and they were a little bit closer than one would expect, you know, for social distancing. They did not provide a good example. And I liked what Tiger Woods said. There are a lot more important things in life than a golf tournament right now. We need to be safe, smart, and do what is best for our loved ones, our community, and ourselves. And I thought that was, you know, perfectly stated. The USGA also said, our world has changed, and there is uncertainty about what comes next. But this break gives us time to reflect about what this game really means to us. We're united by our love, and we're all in this together. And I think, you know, that's a good message for all people who want life to go back to normal. It will, but it's going to take a while. And for now, we just have to take care of each other and ourselves. Another question for you, Wes, is about the other hat you wear, and that is the Aloha State chapter of the Club Management Association of America. What is the message from the Club Management Association of America?
It's been an interesting conversation, Danielle, and I never would have thought I would be a part of the club managers, but to have this direct line of communication to a lot of the GMs, not by going around the head professionals, but by aligning the GMs with the head professionals so that they both understand their jobs and their function in the industry. The GMs and I have been on calls since the end of February about a lot of this, and they were actually very well prepared to approach some of the staffing issues, employment issues, and for a lot of the private clubs, clubs the safety issues for their membership. As you know, a majority of these private clubs have the average age of at least 65 to mid-70s mm-hmm. for their membership. So finding the right structure of operating to ensure the safety of those members that go to the club every day, and that protecting the staff at the same time. Our concern as GMs, we're worried and sensitive about the families that are attached to the facilities as staff and these customers. And to immediately shut down one of them would be an irresponsible ripple that we did not want to send through the industry or panic. So over the last 2 weeks, everything has been moving again in step, in phases, to ensure that the right decisions were made at the right time, in real time, with the best interests of the membership and the staff and the customers of each of the facilities statewide. And I think part of that goes to the start of the Hawaii Golf Alliance. The market started way back. The development of that, the right associations, and come together so that we could get the messaging and the conversation going between all the leaders in our industry. And again, I think Mark is absolutely right. It's so fragmented with different associations, especially when you look at California, where they have two amateur bodies, two professional bodies, and when you look at their market, some courses are open and some courses are closed, and some courses aren't sure what to do during the shutdown in California. In Hawaii, because we cover the same footprint, we've minimized it to one amateur body and one Rollins, and to and Paul Ogawa, to activate a conversation with the GMs has been very simple and very efficient so that we can ensure the safety of players in our industry.
That's great. I know the Oahu Country Club was really quick. At least 8 or 9 days ago, they decided no more food service, and because they're a very popular place for people to go for banquets, for different events that they're holding, and they just said, for now, mm-mm. And they made that decision quite a while ago, given the situation here in Hawaii. We, you know, in a week, we went from, well, maybe a little bit more than a week, from 0 to 37. So, yeah, it's a pretty big jump, you know, and it does necessitate us to consider all of the possibilities instead of sitting here in the middle of the ocean saying, oh, look what's happening in those places. Well, it's happening in everybody's places, and we really need to take care of ourselves. Before we take a break and bring in Guy Kaʻulukukui, who is, of course, the director of the City Department of Enterprise Services, City and County of Honolulu, is there anything you wanted to add, Mark?
Yeah, I just want to say that I think this is a really good time for golfers who missed the game to become even more engaged in the game. And clearly golfers missed the game last week. The highest rated sports show on NBC Sports was a replay of last year's Players Championship. 1 million people watched that. 1 million people. That's an astonishing number. More than any other sports show of the week. So it's just incredible to me, and I would encourage everybody to take this opportunity to become even more engaged in golf. Read. Take this opportunity to read the rules of golf, or to read a book about golf course architecture or a story, so that the more time that we spend doing that, the more we're really going to all be ready to appreciate just how much we missed golf when we can all start playing again.
That's awesome. And Wes, before we bring in Guy.
Nope, Danielle. I mean, I think this is a great conversation. I appreciate you having this so we can get out there and send the message that, you know, we are continuing to remain open to provide a healthy activity in a very sensible and safe way for the players that need some relief.
Excellent. You know, because, you know, the question is, are golf courses safe for us to get out of the house for a touch of sanity? You know, that, and I would say yes, particularly if you're walking the course and there's lots of space between you and the other players. I'd say yes, if the cart you get in is clean and you bring maybe some Clorox wipes to make sure in case you get uneasy, just a precaution, really. Exercise just makes life better. Being in nature makes things better. You know, you just remember what they say about this virus. You know, it can live in the air. But that doesn't mean that we need to just isolate ourselves completely and go nuts, because when you go outside and you look in the distance, it completely changes your perspective on life. You start feeling better looking at trees and greenery. It makes you feel whole. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important just to get out and take in a little bit, but with the necessary precautions to keep yourself safe. So we're going to take a break. We've got Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, NBC Sports and Golf Channel. Wes Wailahua, executive director, Aloha Section PGA. We're going to be joined by Guy Ko'ulukukui, director of the Enterprise Services and City and County of Honolulu, of course, the Department of Enterprise Services. And we'll be talking about the municipal courses right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
From Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Aloha Power Equipment, yes, and Oahu Extraction, they're another sponsor, and they are coronavirus ready to handle anything that's going on with your water pipes, if they're broken, if they're leaking upstairs, and the heavy rain's coming in, you're worried about having people come into your home. That's what I mean by coronavirus ready. They have all the protective gear necessary, and their number is 330-6212. As for Aloha Power Equipment, don't forget, they're at the Sand Island and Waipahu stores. They have the largest selection of Maruyama power equipment. Aloha Power Equipment is the Maruyama superstore. They put power at your fingertips.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction. Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
I got a note from Ko'olina. They are open 7 days a week, and the only change at Ko'olina is that the golf shop will close at 6 o'clock in the evening, not 7. They will open at 6 a.m. like normal, so 6 to 6 for the time being. Of course, Bayview is also open. I love what Mike Wan, the LPGA commissioner, said initially when he first had to start canceling tournaments. Can I live with not canceling if I'm wrong? If I'm wrong, I regret that for the rest of my life. So there's certain decisions that just have to be made. That was Mike Wan, the LPGA commissioner. We're going to bring into the clubhouse now Guy Ko'ulukukui, director of the Department of Enterprise Services, City and County of Honolulu. And with us in the clubhouse is Wes Wailahua and Mark Rolfing. Welcome in, Guy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It's so good of you to join us on this this interesting kind of day, not just weather-wise, but life. Woke up this morning to find out that New York State and Illinois and California are all on lockdown. But interesting enough, Pinehurst, they're keeping the parks open. But the city and county of Honolulu made a different decision, and everybody's making their own decisions as they see necessary. So, Mr. Ko'ulukukui, may I call you Guy?
Yes, please do.
Thank you. Guy, the decision was made by the City and County of Honolulu to close the municipal courses. What was the discussion around that decision?
You know, correct. We did, and I do believe it's an abundance of caution. We also didn't want to create any kind of confusion about what venues that the city and county controls, beach parks, golf courses, are open or not open. part of it is it's simpler to say they all are closed for the same reason. But the reality is we really don't know a lot right now about what we're facing. And that I don't mean just the city. I mean the community, our professionals. The best we can do is react to something we see right now, which healthcare professionals are telling us is a snapshot of the last week or 2 weeks ago. What we see bloom today has been blooming for a while. It's the prevent for is the unknown to come. And I understand that some folks are frustrated and concerned that we might have overreacted. And it's as you just said in that last quote, what can you more readily live with? Can you more readily live with overreacting or underreacting? And in a situation where we don't have a lot of information, I even myself would say overreacting is preferred, but let's monitor and let's see if our reaction was actually consistent with what we see play out, and perhaps adjustments can be made in the future. I appreciate that private courses have largely stayed open. I really, really do. I think they can provide a great example for how we could safely do this, which might give us the opportunity to do the same day by day right now.
The National Course Foundation, I think I've just made the... I think that's how what it's called. Anyway, they came out with an incredible list of guidelines about how to make it safe for people during this coronavirus time to go out and play golf. And the list is lengthy. You know, but in the Wall Street Journal, a couple of items would be, don't take the flag stick out. Don't touch the rake. It's kind of... Right, just keeping yourself to yourself as much as possible while enjoying the great outdoors. And I appreciate, and yeah, I had a feeling that, you know, for the city and county to just, you know, pick this and that and this and that just would send a wrong message, that it had to be one or not, all or nothing. It all had to be done, and that makes complete sense. I do have to tell you that one of the golfers in the elevator that I was in yesterday, and they were talking with one another. I didn't know them. It was just a chance encounter as they talked about going to play golf today. One of them wanted to go, and oh, no, the golf courses are all closed. And I said, well, some of them are open, sir. I said, the municipal courses have had to close. He goes, that's where I play. And so he was very adamant in that. And so your golf courses are loved. And I know that there's a lot going on with the Alawai, and we've been talking, Mark Rolfing and I, Wes Wailuhua joining in, the three of us discussing how this is going to bring this pandemic is going to bring and force to bring together golf agencies, whether it's the PGA Tour, LPGA, USGA figuring out when to broadcast their tournaments whenever they start again, or just bodies of golf working better together. And I don't know, but can you tell me, is a bringing together of all these different agencies here in Hawaii in the future, perchance, at the Alawai?
I think definitely. It's certainly something we're very interested in. We've had conversations actually going back probably a year now with, in particular, the Aloha Section, with Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, with Hawaii Golf Association, Hawaii State Golf Association, to gauge their interest in maybe co-locating, if we can provide that opportunity. We spent a little time looking at various models across the country. Several states have developed golf houses. We are using the Golf House of Kentucky in particular as a potential model of what we could do, and we're trying to find ways to bring that to the Alawai, because we're going to have Top Golf there. We're approaching 100 years old, one of the oldest golf courses in Hawaii. We have just finished moving the already coalescing there. It makes sense for us to create an opportunity for local golf associations to be there too. I think now, given the situation we're heading into and the economic outcome that's likely associated with it, it's probably even more important than it was when we started talking about it.
Because there'll be less expenses for everybody else, or they'll be bringing their expenses into one place and sharing them?
That was always our thought, was there's probably a lot of redundancies in expenses shared by these organizations in disparate locations, in some cases across the state on different islands. If we can bring them together, there should be a tremendous amount of not only energy and synergy that'll come with that, but shared costs, some of which the city can share.
Yeah, it just makes total sense to me. And then everybody's working together. It's like you can go right down the hall and talk to the head of and have a discussion and then go back to your office and start working on what you just discussed rather than making...
Right.
It sounds perfect.
It's important to us is for a variety of reasons, but I think the primary reason is that we want to have growing the game. And we want to ensure that, golf is affordable and available to our community going into the future. And I think municipal golf is going to have a huge role in that.
It is, absolutely. It's affordable. And then got into, that's just how it is. You can afford, and the way the city and county has already made it possible for kids to play, 17 and under, at no charge with a parent or an adult with them, it's wonderful. It opens up so many doors. I'd like to ask Mark, would you like to come in and continue the conversation? I know Matt Rollins is also standing by. He is the executive director of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. But first, Mark.
Yeah, I think what opportunity we really see at Alawai, Danielle, for sort of becoming this home of Hawaii golf is a place that not only is iconic, but, it is a gathering place and has been for 100 years, as Guy said, that frankly has been totally underutilized by a number of various factions within the golf industry. I look at even the surrounding areas, the University of Hawaii, which is so close to Alawai, and yet their golf programs don't utilize that golf course as a home venue. They don't really practice there. They don't play there. They don't have tournaments there. The junior golf programs at Alawai are way underutilized compared to some of the other courses, even on the island of Oahu. And, this opportunity that we have in front of us now, especially with a little time where we have a restart, I think is going to cause us to not just talk about the physical aspect and whose office might be able to go into Alawai, but really how can we utilize Alawai as the asset that it is to grow the game. And I think getting more and more people together there will just spur incredible conversations. And I think you'll see a lot of things happening very quickly. Wes Wailihua took the lead by moving the Hall of Fame there for the Aloha section. That is going to be a domino that is going to cause a bunch of other ones to fall. Nobody ever thought something like that was possible, and he showed us that it is.
Wes, can you continue?
Yeah, absolutely, Danielle. I mean, the guy has been actually a great partner to work with the last couple of years. It started with, I think, a relationship that he and I have had that goes back for when I was in high school. But, the fact that we're able to have these conversations really attributes to the current leadership of our alliance associations now. I think that we're a lot more aligned now than we were than 10 or 12 years ago. I think we've been able to have some honest conversations, and more importantly, I think, Danielle, call each other out if one of our associations has not been in step with what we've been doing together or trying to create as an alliance. And I think these are some of the things that go back to the 90s when everybody kind of operated in their own little fiefdom. And that goes even back down to the island associations. And I think it's great now that we've got a junior golf summit going under Matt's leadership, that we've got a regular communication flowing between the island associations and Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, and really having Paul on the Hawaii State Golf Association side. It's really been very easy, again, to communicate, to kind of call to action together so that we can all be aligned and share the same message to our membership.
And it's great for this, grow the game at the Alawai. I'd love to go watch the University of Hawaii teams practice or compete or have tournaments. I always wonder, why are they way over there on some neighbor island that most of the population in Hawaii can't even get to because, frankly, most of us here can't travel like that. You know, it's expensive. And
let me tell you when it's going to start. Let me just jump in, Danielle, because the PGA Tour comes to the island of Oahu every year and has for 5 or 6 decades. Yet all of the activity of the PGA Tour is at a private club, Wailea Country Club. And what you're going to see when the next Sony Open occurs next January is the PGA Tour is not only coming to Wailea Country Club, it's coming to the Alawai.
Wow.
Are we going to have a televised round of the Sony Open? No. Are we going to have a lot of other PGA Tour type activities and junior golf activities and things going on at Alawai? Absolutely, yes. And that will be only the beginning.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Guy.
No problem. My pleasure. We've been looking for ways to connect the Alawai experience to the Sony Open for a few years now, so it's great that we're going to have this opportunity to host the kids there.
Yeah, and just make it a party. That's a part of the whole appeal of the tournament. Well, actually, part of the problem I had with PGA Tour tournaments, so they came where they were so exclusive. This is an exclusive party. We're having this exclusive event, and it's an exclusive thing, and it's only for exclusive people. It's like, gosh, you're shutting out, 95% of the population that would like to be more in and not have to be pushing their way through to be on the inside. And this way, you create a venue where everybody's getting together and enjoying the world of golf and going to watch the professionals play, but also having a place where you can kind of just relax and have fun. And that's what I think the Alawai represents, a place where you can co-play golf. And don't worry, guys who've been playing golf all this time at the Alawai. Nobody's going to disrupt your regular rounds of golf. You're still going to be able to play, and we're not going to be laughing and giggling while you're in your backswing. But fun needs to be a part of the game so that kids get in, so that kids grow up enjoying and feeling at home at the Alawai, so that they'll continue to want to play, because, of course, our future is our children. Guy Ka'ulukukui, Director of Department of Enterprise Services, thank you so much for being on the show and bringing us all this information.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back. Matt Rollins is with us right after this. Executive Director, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. I think there was a big vote last night, and I'm so excited. I can hardly wait to talk with Matt Rollins after this.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water or worse, sewer pipes break or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
All right, Matt Rollins, Executive Director, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. Matt, we've got Mark Rolfing and Wes Weiler, who are still here. You've been listening to the show. Matt, what are some of your thoughts?
Hey, Danielle. Good morning. Well, first off, I just wanted to say that Wes's comments, I thought, were great. And what he did yesterday to guide the facilities in Hawaii really kind of sets up those safe practices, which allows these golf courses to stay open and allows the public to feel safe, to go out there and remain active. And that's kind of what we our kids, the adults, and let them know that they need to connect with their local facility to stay engaged in golf in this time. So I think Wes is doing a great job there. They have some great information on PGA.org for golf facilities that he shared yesterday. So we're just looking for ways to kind of stay in touch with our members and keep them engaged in this time. And last week on Friday, we made the difficult decision to postpone Hawaii Junior Golf Day just because of the size of the gathering. We had over 500 kids signed up at that point, and we didn't think it was responsible to continue with that. So Wes and I had a good conversation about that event and decided to delay that event for now once we know a little bit more. So we've just been communicating with kids and parents and some of those host facilities, and we hope to have better news very soon.
Yeah, and we all do, because the better news that you have means that everything's getting better. You know, it's kind of like we're all just hunkered down, and we just have to look at it. It's like being in a win and stay safe, and that means keeping away from each other, even though you may love them, the other neighbors or the people that you normally hang out with in church. A lot of churches, the Catholic Church, is not holding any services, and many churches are not, because they know that the aging population that's most vulnerable. And don't get me wrong, people, everybody can get this. And kids, you can have it and you can give it to somebody, because, you know, you might have an immune system that's maybe a little bit stronger, and the virus will just make you feel kind of ugh. But another person, it'll completely take them out and maybe kill them. And that could be grandma or grandpa or auntie or somebody you love dearly. So you really must wash your hands. Do all the things that they're telling you to do that you think, oh, I'm not. No, you are. We all are. We're all part of this. We're all in this together, and we all need to follow. And that's why when you go play golf, if you need to, and make sure that you're feeling comfortable, because confidence and comfortable is very important for your overall well-being. And you don't touch the flagstick. You leave it in. So what if, you know, I mean, there's certain things that you're going to do that aren't the same. You're not going to rake. You're not going to pick up the rake. That's what was recommended when some people talked about how to best go out and play. Get out in the sunshine. Enjoy the day. Spend some quality time with one or two people, depending. Bayview, they're taking two at a time. Some courses just doing one and separating the golfers 20 minutes apart, whatever it happens to be. Check in with your golf courses, like Matt said. Now, got to go to last night's vote, yesterday's vote. Mark Rolfing and Wes and Matt. Matt, tell us what the vote was yesterday on first tee.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I would consider it a vote, but we definitely had some great meetings yesterday. So in the morning, we met with the First Tee of Hawaii and First Tee headquarters. Had some great conversation around where this is heading with our two organizations. And then in the afternoon, we met with the HSJGA board, and basically everybody's on the same page there that we'll be moving forward with the HSJGA becoming a multi-purpose organization, so assisting in the delivery of the first tee in Hawaii. So over the next month, we'll be working to restructure our board and our operational committees. And then once we get that structure in place, we'll be working closely with those committees with our industry partners and the golf experts in Hawaii to determine a direction that will basically kind of be a best fit to help grow junior golf in Hawaii. So we want to keep everybody involved in this direction. And I think basically what has transpired is that these two organizations want to work closer together with under one board, basically one direction. And there's some major opportunities out there. And I think I mentioned this on the call we had 2 weeks ago, but to get into the school system with the First Tee Golf and Schools program and to start interacting with associations like YMCAs and the Boys and Girls Clubs and groups like that will really help to grow the base of junior golf in Hawaii, which will support many of the golf academies, the golf facilities, and the various golf associations that exist out here. So we're still working, obviously, on that direction, and that'll come kind of over the next year here and working with all of our association partners here in Hawaii.
Well, that's exciting because, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe I should just say it like I feel it and you tell me. For those of you who don't know about the different junior golf associations, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association is for all kids, but truly it's for children who have begun to excel in their age group, and they are prepared for tournament play. And that's what the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association really does the best. It gets kids who are ready to compete, who have the focus and the drive and the desire from 7 years old on up. And there's those age groups. Now, there are a lot of kids who have never experienced golf, know nothing about it. They wouldn't find much to do in a situation like that. So that's where First Tee is all about. You can bring your kids into First Tee. They can learn about the game, about the way to behave, which, by the way, has to do with how you behave just in general. You're supposed to be polite and take care of each other and respect the golf course, respect your equipment, respect each other, respect yourself. Lots of these different things are taught to children while they're learning to play golf. Some of them will say, you know, nah, this game's not for me, but they learn all of these wonderful things with First Tee. And then, as you're saying, Matt, that from there they can decide to what level they wish to go.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a ton of opportunity out here, a team environment for these kids to stay more engaged in the game and start taking it a little bit more seriously. And then from there, they stay in those programs and they can also move on to other programs that kind of support their needs. And kind of with an end goal of many of these kids being supported right into college and getting a golf scholarship and playing this game for life, because we obviously believe it's a great game to keep people active and outdoors. So that's kind of the end goal.
Perfect. Wes, any thoughts?
Yeah, Danielle, our excitement really is in this joint effort that Matt's doing with the First Tee is basically helping redefine the player pathway a little bit more for players. Now, he and I have talked about this several times. I mean, there's a strong push from a lot of our junior organizations across the state to create competitive players. And I find that we have fallen behind on, and you and I have talked about it, Danielle, creating socially responsible juniors and players in our industry. And I see a lot more players that are out there playing socially. You know, as our competition golfs have kind of reduced in the months ahead, casual rounds of golf will continue to be played out there on all of our facilities. And I think the First Tee's dynamic adds something to growing more players that will be socially responsible. They may not be the top tournament players, you know, across the state, but I think they'll add to that social dynamic that we're also looking for. But, you know, the relationship between HSJGA and the First Tee, and as we create that next tee or step through PGA Junior League, will help feed up into all these junior golf programs on the neighbor islands, including the ones led independently by PGA professionals and non-PGA professionals that are out there teaching in programs. You know, Casey Nakama, Boi Hokomoro on Oahu, and everybody else throughout the state that has a junior program will see the growth and impact from this decision that's being made to come together and collaborate and work on developing juniors on the pathway.
Yeah, and over at Kona Country Club, there's the Aloha State Junior Golfers, about 60 strong, you know, and they've had to, you know, not get together. Like, we usually get together at Bayview every Sunday, the Aloha State Junior Golfers, and we're not, for obvious reasons, just to keep everybody safe. Mark, your thoughts.
Well, yeah, you know, for over 20 years now, Danielle, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association has been the preeminent junior golf association in the state. It's got a tremendous track record for producing really good junior golfers and developing young leaders for our society. We are not at all advocating eliminating any of the junior golf associations. They're next. And because of that, there are different needs and situations on all the islands. But what that really is causing us to think through is how do we best create an umbrella for junior golf in Hawaii that can sort of deliver messaging, funding, all the things that are needed to all the various junior golf associations. And rather than having everybody operate independently, and this was really something that Wes pointed out began back in the 1990s. It's time now to rethink this. The junior golf game in Hawaii is not growing the way that it should. The results simply have not been there over the last few years. And I think this new structure is going to be a beginning for delivering opportunities to the kids that haven't been there, whether it's on the course or off the course. I think the structure is going to immediately create more opportunities, which is the goal.
Yeah, and you were talking with us earlier in the show about you sitting next to Michelle Wee during the players, and you also spoke a little bit about how passionate she is about junior golf in Hawaii.
Yeah, she really is. We talked a lot about it last week, and actually Matt Rollins was there with us for a couple of days of meetings with the first tee headquarters folks. But what Michelle was saying to me was quite interesting. She really has a desire to want to be involved with the first tee because it is such a strong national organization, because the PGA Tour now is involved in it. You know, she was kind of saying, why can't we have that sort of strength with the first tee in Hawaii? And the answer is, well, we can. But what we can't do it by having the first tee operating totally independently from the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. We're too remote a place. We're too geographically challenged. And it's time for everybody to come together and work together. And the leadership in putting that together has been with the HSJGA and Mary B. and all the folks on that board under the guidance of Matt Rollins, frankly, who has really stepped up here, Danielle, and become the junior golf leader that we all knew he could become. And he's the one that's engineering this deal.
It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome because it also means with the PGA Tour involvement that there's funding. You know, instead of going it one way, the funding's coming this way. And that would be really, really good because, you know, the cost of living in Hawaii is high. And we have to make it affordable for these kids to get involved. It's really simple. And the more affordable you make it, and then, hey, parents, the cool thing about the Hawaii Junior Golf Day is that you get a roadmap. You know, you get to find out the best way to get your child, if they're interested in the game, into the game. And so we're going to keep you, of course, there's going to be a Hawaii Junior Golf Day in the future. I don't know if we'll probably wait until next year, but there will be other opportunities for us here on the show to talk about how and where, once this thing settles down, you can get the kids out to play, to practice, to figure out if they like the sport. You'd be surprised. I know Nani's young man, Noah, is amazing. He came to the Aloha State Junior Golfers. He had never played golf before. He'd been a basketball. He did this and that and never really stuck. He loves golf. He thinks it's great. He's got a natural swing. He's amazing. He really, it's fun to see children when they catch something, you know. It's like, wow, there's a spark that's lit and they stick with it, and that's awesome. So I want to thank all of you. Before, you know, I say goodbye to you, Wes Wailahua, Aloha Section PGA Executive Director and Vice President of the Aloha State Chapter of the Club Management Association. I don't know if you want to stay on. Ted Bishop's going to be with us. Of course, he's an owner, operator of a golf course. He's a big proponent of playing golf during this period. But if you'd like to stay, you're welcome. If you'd like to give us your thoughts before you go, please, what's your preference?
Danielle, I'd love to stay, but I do have a call at 8:30 that I need to be on.
There you go.
PGA.
Yes.
If Ted's on the call, Ted, aloha. Hope you're doing well. Sending you some warm wishes from the islands. And to Mark and Matt, thanks for your support and your comments. I think together, collectively, as leaders, we can all kind of help our facilities and our members and the players kind of get through this crisis ahead of us.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you very much. Wes Wailahua, Executive Director, Aloha Section PGA. And from you, Matt Rollins, I can't tell you how much I've appreciated you helping to coordinate everything. You're awesome, and it's been a pleasure to watch you just take over the reins of executive director and run with it and grow with it and grow everything that comes with the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association.
Well, thanks for those comments, Danielle. But again, it's we've got a great board. We've got some great industry partners and a great staff at Hawaii State Junior Golf. So it's obviously a fun and great world to work in. So I feel pretty grateful to be here.
Great. And so as things, I don't know what to say. You'll be on again soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Danielle. Take care.
You too. Thank you. Mark, you'll be sticking with me with Ted Bishop.
Yeah, and I can tell you this, if it's up to me and Matt, we're not going to be waiting till next year to do Hawaii Junior Golf Day.
Oh, good. Oh, well, that's, I didn't want to, you know, like, what do I know?
I think we'll do it as soon as we can, frankly, and who knows when that'll be, but the goal would be to start it up and do it just like we had planned as soon as possible.
Sooner that rather than later. Excellent. We're going to come back with Ted Bishop, GM of the Legends Golf Club in Indiana. He's owner, operator, creator, greenskeeper, 38th president of the PGA of America. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pro. Mud or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction. Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And we are KPUA Hilo, K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu, K-O-N-I, Lanai City, K-T-O-H, Kalaheo. Now, bringing into the clubhouse, we are Ted Bishop, GM of the Legends Golf Club in Indiana. I like this. Creator, owner, operator, and greenskeeper. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ted.
Hey, Danielle, thanks. Always a pleasure to be with you.
And, other than the circumstances you're surrounded by.
Now, we're hanging in there, Mark, just like everybody else, and I hope your health is good.
You know,
it is.
That's the beauty, too, you know, that he's clear. It's so wonderful. I was reading, I was wondering the other day, or maybe a couple of weeks ago, where's Ted? I don't read him in morning read as often as I used to. And then, lo and behold, there you were with an article in morning read about the Legends Golf Club in Indiana and opportunities for people during this time to play a round of golf. And you're making it, as they say, responsible for safety, for safe and most important, of course, now sanitary. You have a whole list in this article. Tell us what you're doing at your golf course.
Well, Danielle, we're actually just trying to utilize a lot of common sense and offer a safe and sanitary environment at the golf course, as long as our business is a very active week in the golf industry, with a lot of chat boards and information coming from all of the major associations and publications in golf on things that we can do to provide an outdoor recreational environment that I think people really need right now, from both a mental and physical health standpoint. So, it's just a lot of common sense things. And, you mentioned the morning read deal. I had taken a sabbatical, and Alex Maselli and Steve Harmon reached out to me, knowing that the landscape of golf news, was certainly going to change for a while, and asked me if I would, contribute some things that would be, more applicable to doing that. And, one interesting thing in particular that a lot of courses are doing is they're removing their bunker rakes. And as we all know, there's some danger in touching surfaces and the virus, staying on a surface. So a lot of golf courses have removed the bunker rakes. And it, prompted me to reach out to Mike Davis this morning from the USGA and just ask Mike, if I know that courses are allowed to institute a temporary local rule that would take the bunkers out of play. Basically, it'd be the same circumstances, such as ground under repair. But if that's done, are players still allowed to post those scores for handicap? And, Mike and, his people at the USGA, Craig Winter, responded immediately. And the answer to that is yes, that you can allow those scores to be posted. And I just think there's going to be a lot of creative things that you're going to see done with the game, over the next few weeks or few months. Who knows?
Yeah, now, how are you sending folks out? Some people are doing onesies, twosies, separating the tee times. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, we run our tee times on 10-minute intervals. Now, one of the things that, I think this is probably true in Hawaii as it would be in Indiana, but the vast majority of my players ride in golf cars. 85% of my 18-hole players ride, and 70% of my 9-hole players ride. And, golf courses are just not in a position from a supply and demand standpoint where you can really, rent single carts to individuals without running out of carts in a pretty quick period of time. So I feel like, as an operator, and I do have 108 cars in my fleet because we have 27 holes, but I've got an obligation to give everyone the opportunity to ride a cart if they so, want to. Now, at the same time, we're very cognizant of what we call protective distancing, not social distancing. And so what we're encouraging people to do is put two bags on the cart, one person drive, one person walk, trade off every other hole if need be, sanitize the steering wheel or any touch points on the golf car. And, that's just that's one example of a way that you can try to help the golf car situation. There's going to be certainly circumstances where you're going to have to rent one individual a golf car, and there's no way around it. We do see a lot more people walking now than we did, but quite honestly, I've got a lot of seniors that play here who want the recreation and want the activity outside, and they're not in a position where they can walk. When you have people from the same immediate family who are not protective distancing inside their houses, I don't know how you can tell them that that they can't ride together in a golf cart.
I know. No. I totally understand. It would be kind of ridiculous to do that. They're living together. That's why I thought families, like with children, moms, dads, kids, whoever, the extended family, if you're all in the same house, you're already, together. And to tell you to be apart is kind of... Well, that's silly. I go home and we're all together in the same house using the same utensils, touching the same surfaces, and we're not wiping them off every second. So completely understand that part. Also, in your morning read article, you say that your people are playing in frost delays, cart path restrictions, wet, windy conditions. You got some hardy folks.
Well, we do. And I mean, you know, we've been busy when the weather's been, you know, reasonably good. I mean, we played 201 players last Tuesday, and it was in the high 40s most of the day, and it was windy and wet. And even today, I mean, right now the real feel here is 30, the temperature is 34 degrees. The real feel is 26. And I've got about two dozen players that are out there playing, and obviously most of these people are walking just to stay warm. But, you know, just another thing, and I mentioned this to you earlier today when we spoke, but I think, you know, everybody around the country is watching New York and California, because these are two states that are well ahead of a lot of us with the coronavirus. And yesterday, Governor Cuomo in New York put a lot of restrictions in place. But, you know, it's interesting to me that as of now, the Bethpage Park golf courses remain open. And that's, I think, a pretty profound statement by Governor Cuomo and the state of New York on how important they feel that outdoor recreation is. And I think that, you know, that's something that golf course owners around the country look at with a little bit of optimism as to how it may affect our businesses down the road.
Yeah, you also, though, in your article mentioned something really important about insurance, that could be a concern for some golf course operators. Why?
Well, I tell you what, it's a concern for any business owner, no matter what line of business they're in, because all of us have got commercial insurance packages, and there are clauses in those commercial insurance packages for business interruption coverage. But unfortunately, no business, I don't care what the business is going to receive any insurance aid from a pandemic. It's an exclusion in those business interruption insurance policies, and as we all know, most golf courses are small businesses. Obviously, we all have empathy for restaurants and bars that have been shut down. Those are small businesses. There's the unemployment numbers are they're out there. We all know what they are. And another concern that I think all golfers would have with golf courses, and again, I point to how the state of New York is currently handling this, but golf course maintenance has to go on. Okay, it has to go on because the turf grasses that are out there, they need to be mowed, they need to be sprayed, they need to be treated chemically so that when this thing is over with, you know, we've all got a business platform to sell our product on. And interestingly, those are deemed to be, in most parts of the country, it looks like right now, as accepted emergency services. So golf course maintenance workers that are able to get to work or can go to work who are in areas that may have been quarantined are probably still going to have jobs because we got to have a product to sell when this is all said and done. And it's not as bad here in Indiana right now as it is everywhere else. I think we've only got 279 confirmed coronavirus cases as of today, but that could all change in the coming weeks for sure.
Yeah. And Mark, I get in here.
Well, yeah, Ted is a provocative guy, and he always creates, you know, new thought avenues for me when I listen to him. And one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about, and Danielle, you and I have talked about this on a regular basis, I am very concerned about the long-term sustainability of golf if we don't make some changes going forward. And I really think if you take a look at what is happening now with this crisis, it's going to give us a chance to examine the way we deal with all the various aspects of playing golf. So just take Ted's bunker discussion, for example. About not having rakes in the bunkers or maintaining the bunkers and now designating them during this crisis as ground under repair. And can those scores still count? And having Mike Davis of the USGA says, yes, that's a very good sign to me, because I think going forward, we're going to need to look at how we deal with this proliferation of bunkers that we're seeing built on golf courses. On the other side of the coin, one of the new courses that has just opened, barely, but is now open for play, is Sheep Ranch in Bandon Dunes, designed by Bill Coore and Ben Crenshaw. There is not a bunker on the course, which means less upfront cost, less maintenance cost, and no rakes. Do we want to go that far? The answer is no. But as time goes on, we need to look at what the ramification of bunkers everywhere on golf courses means. It means the consumer is going to pay more to play that facility. It's going to take longer to play that facility, and it is going to complicate and in some kind of times compromise, you know, the actual experience. So before you go building a new golf course or saying we're going to add bunkers here or there to make holes more viable for competitive play, just consider the long-term sustainability. And we can look at all the various areas of a golf experience while we're in this crisis.
You know, this has been a wonderful conversation. Mark Rolfing, thank you so much for being with me from the start. You've added so much food for thought. Ted Bishop, I really appreciate the time of, you know, being the general manager and the owner operator of the Legends Golf Club in Indiana, 38th president of PGA of America, the driving force behind Drive, Chip, and Putt, and PGA Junior League. Thank you so much for your insights. I really appreciate the time that you gave us today.
Well, I appreciate being with you, Danielle, and it was a real special treat for me to be with Mark Rolfing again.
Excellent. Fantastic.
Take care, and I'll stay in touch.
Aloha.
Will do.
Excellent. Aloha, both of you. And I want to thank the people who make this show possible. The Golf Club is made possible by these great people. Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, call Oahu Extraction. Or you know what? Maybe that water didn't flood in. Maybe there's a place that you didn't realize. It's kind of a crack. Or maybe it's upstairs. It has a leak through the soffit. I didn't know what that was until it happened to me. And all of a sudden something's going on with the ceiling and you don't understand what it is. It's kind of turning colors. Well, they've got, it's causing mold is what's happening. Oahu Extraction is CV ready. Okay, that is coronavirus ready. So they can go into your home without bringing the virus in because they're in protective gear. They can handle all of these things with their hydrometer. They can handle your burst water pipes. If that rain's coming in, 330-6212, call them. Oh, yes, Aloha Power Equipment at Sand Island and Waipahu stores. Largest selection of Maruyama Power Equipment. Aloha Power Equipment is the Maruyama Superstore, and they'll put power at your fingertips. Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe, Hawaii's best value in golf. Double-deck driving range, top tracer at each station, and you can challenge your friends in the virtual mode. And they're open, and they're running twosies and every 20 minutes apart, so there's lots of room for you if you'd like to get out and play. Bayview has a 9:30 and a 10:10. Remember, you just have to exercise the proper amount of caution as you get out on the, you know, social distancing and golf, and it's it becomes a moral obligation at some point. So just make sure that, you know that you're going to go out and you're with people that you're comfortable with and they're comfortable with you, and you've all been taking care of yourself, and you're coming from places where everything's clean, safe, and secure. All right? So that's what you got to do. I want to thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot that is on the golf, you know, club. So when the ball contacts. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.